Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the coffee shop here that we have come here many times to have meetings like this. I want to say a special thank you to the owner of the coffee shop for having us here. And if you haven't gotten some coffee yet, please do. We are trying to promote small businesses. I am on the small business committee. And part of our function this year is being the oversight chair of the Small Business Committee. We're trying to get the SBA out of Washington and into communities like this to help promote small businesses with capital and counseling. My name is Mark Alford, and I am the congressional representative for the 4th Congressional District of the great state of Missouri. And I'm all glad you're here today. We do Mondays with Mark many, many times. In fact, the 2 years that we have been in office, we have had dozens of these meetings at various coffee shops. Usually we only have maybe 5 or 10 people show up. You can't hear back there? Okay. Is that the loudest that we'll go? Okay. Typically we have 5 or 10 people here at a time for Mondays with Mark. But I know that things are changing in America. I know you want to be heard. Some of you are not from our district, which is fine. Hopefully I can answer your questions today.
Is there way that the rest of us can hear?
This is as loud as it will go.
How come this way in the middle of the
room?
Come down here.
The speaker is right here.
They come down here.
So.
We're good.
I will say that... In the past, what we have done is I've had the opportunity to sit down individually with folks and have face-to-face conversations. Today, because of the crowd size, we'll not be able to do that. If you have a particular concern,
I do,
that doesn't have to do with layoffs or what's going on in the government right now, maybe you need some federal help. Our staff is here to help you out. Becky Johnson is our district director.
Good morning.
Jake is here. He's one of our field directors back there. Tiana works as a field rep as well. And Patty DePardo-Livergood is here as well. We have 3 offices in Missouri. Our main office is here in Raymore. If you haven't been there, I encourage you to come down, have a cup of coffee. And as I like to tell everyone, we represent 772,047 individuals. It doesn't matter if you're Republican. It helps to turn it on. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or politically agnostic. We give you the same level of service when you come into our office or when you call. Now, I know I'm going to go over one ground rule right now. Because this is a small, confined space, and there are others who would like to come in and have a civil discussion. And so, if you are not going to abide by the rules and have a civil discussion, if you are going to disrupt things, we are going to ask the police officers to escort you out, and the owner has agreed to that. I did not come here to have a food fight, okay? I came here
as a lot of representatives are not doing, even some of you in districts not in the fourth, your representatives are not doing this.
Did you come to listen to us, though? That's
and so today we, sir, if you would like to leave, you're welcome to do that and let someone else who can act civilly come in. So we are going to have a civil discussion today, and I'm going to answer as many questions as I can, and I have to leave at 10 o'clock to catch a flight back to D.C. All right? So let's go with the questions. We have divided up our questions. Your question must be written down. We're not going to have anyone yelling out questions in this format. If you want to yell out a question, you can do it from outside this establishment.
Those are from in-district, sir.
We're going to go with the in-district people first, because that's who I represent. And we're just doing these randomly, okay? Diane from Belton, we asked Ukraine to give up its nuclear weapons, promising our protection. Will we give the nuclear weapons back to Ukraine? Where is Diane? Diane, raise your hand.
I want to hear it.
Over here.
Diane, thank you. That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not at that level. I used to be on the Armed Services Committee. I'm no longer on the Armed Services Committee. But there's, a bigger question in general here about Ukraine that I want to talk about. And so American taxpayers have invested 300 some billion dollars in Ukraine.
Okay?
Freedom.
Today, I believe today or tomorrow is the third anniversary of Putin's invasion into Ukraine. I firmly believe it was Putin who started the war. But I also believe that Joe Biden, Joe Biden, with the weakness that he showed in Afghanistan, the way he pulled out of Afghanistan, and the way he signaled to Putin that it was okay to have a minor incursion, that he helped promote this to some fashion. And so now we are stuck in this endless war, which is not going anywhere. And Zelensky has admitted that he cannot come up with $100 billion of taxpayer money.
It's not about coming from
so the Russians have got the Donbass region. In 2014, they took Crimea, and President Obama did not do anything about it. And so Putin felt even more emboldened. And so now we're stuck in a what could become another Vietnam. So what President Trump is planning to do is to try to reach a settlement in this and keep Putin at bay where he is and have Europe pay up their fair share. Did you know that only 35% of the European countries who are in NATO are paying their dues to NATO? Germany and France are not paying their fair share. And so we have got to make sure that they pay their fair share. And that's what we're going to do. Will we give nuclear weapons back to Ukraine? I don't have any intelligence on that. I don't know if that's going to be an issue.
So why aren't we...
We've got to take a question. We're going in order.
Sir?
We're going in order.
We are going in order. I love you being here.
There's a card. You can put your name on.
I have talked with you personally out in the parking lot outside our office.
Sure did. How you doing?
And I appreciate you.
Can I make an opening statement?
And no, you cannot. You can leave if you're going to disrupt this. Because I know that the Democrats have a plan to try to disrupt things in town hall meetings. But that's okay. But you are welcome to leave if you would not like to be here.
Let's go order. All right.
From Audrey from Belton, Missouri. MAGA is telling people not to trust our doctors and our teachers and our lawyers and our scientists. Who do you trust to provide facts, and how does that influence your decision making when voting on legislative or voting on bills? Where's Audrey? That's a very good question. Thank you. I do trust the science. However, I think some science is not settled. I think RFK is going to get to the bottom of a lot of what is going on in America, and I look forward to him making America healthy once again. From Kim in Green Valley. Kim in Green Valley. Where's Kim? Thank you, Kim. Thanks for being here today. Do you support $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, which cancels out the cuts to U.S. government services and people? Okay, let me, this is part of a deeper, kind of explain how the budget works, and then I'll get into this. Now let me have this. There are two trains going down this track that we're on right now. All right, we have $36.5 trillion in debt, and we are gaining over $1 trillion in interest each year. That's more than we're spending on defense. We take in $5 trillion and we spend $7.5 trillion a year. You cannot live in your house if you're taking in $5,000 a month and spending $7.5 million. You wouldn't be able to pay your mortgage. You couldn't run a business like that. And so that is what we have got to turn around in America, and we have got to cut our spending. Our spending has gone up tremendously since COVID. We've got to get back to pre-COVID level spending. Part of the problem is the reason inflation is so high right now, one of the reasons is the bond market is so skittish because of our debt. If we don't get our debt under control, this is the greatest existential threat that our nation faces right now. And we have got to make sure that we make the cuts. The cuts that we're making, 75% of our budget is made up of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Did you know that? 24% is so-called discretionary spending, and a large part of that is defense spending. So at a time we need to really increase our defense spending to be a deterrent against communist China, then we've got to look for savings. One of the places we're going to look is Medicaid. Any government program, are you in favor of cutting waste, abuse, and fraud out of any government program? It depends. I would think you want to be getting rid of all government waste, abuse, and fraud. You're not? Well, I'm here to tell you that that's what we're going to do. And if you're an able-bodied adult with no dependents, you should not be on Medicaid. And so we are going to make sure that we are getting rid of the waste, abuse, and fraud in the Medicaid system. We're going to come up with $880 billion worth of savings over 10 years. That's $880 million. The $4.5 trillion that Kim was talking about. Where's Kim? The $4.5 trillion, part of this involves the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. How many of you have a small business here? Anybody? Good. Do you have an S-Corp? Are you in an S-Corp? Alright, you're an S-Corp. So an S-Corp is a qualified business deduction, and it came through with the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which allowed small businesses like this one to have a 20% off-the-top deduction so that they could earn more revenue, so they could hire more employees and build their businesses. If we do not, it's not for millionaires and billionaires. That's the problem. The Democrats will say it's for millionaires and billionaires. I don't think the gentleman standing here making your coffee today is a millionaire. I could be wrong, but I don't think he is. But he's taking advantage of this program. If we don't pass, renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it will be the largest increase, tax increase in U.S. history. So in order to get this economy churning again, to make sure that everyone has a good paying job, and that not necessarily in the federal government, then we've got to make sure that we have a strong economy. We're going to do that by renewing the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We're going to do that by getting rid of a lot of the overregulation. We're going to do that by making sure that we are not just energy independent, but we are energy dominant. And through those things, we're going to make sure that we have the revenues necessary, we can start climbing out of this deficit and we can save America.
Next question, Mark.
Would you please give that guy an index card and a pen?
He's had the opportunity, sir.
You know how to write? You can write down a question. All right, thank you. Okay, who's the next civilized person that we can ask a question from? The Save Act. The Save Act. What is it? Stephanie from Clinton. Tell me more about
it. It's H.R. 8281 okay. in Congress. And so it's about preventing allegedly immigrants from voting. It's not really a problem, but if you want to play with that, you can.
Right.
But it has a section in it that says your last name must match your birth certificate. Okay. And there's no carve-out for women who have been married and have changed their name.
All right. Hey, folks. Hey.
Yes, no,
Stephanie.
Yes, yes, no.
Stephanie.
Yes, no.
This is a
yes,
very
no.
good. Yes, it wasn't really a question. It was some bullet points.
No.
But I appreciate that.
And
we're gonna look into that because I didn't know that was an issue. So I will look into that. Make sure get your phone number if you will, and we will get back to you. Okay, next question from Karen Johnson from Cass County. We've seen corporate interests take control of healthcare, food production, and education. More farmers will be forced into bankruptcy. Are you supportive of corporate rule of our country? Why or why not? Karen, where's Karen? Karen, thank you so much. I was on the Agriculture Committee last year. We are losing 1,000 farms in America each month. In the short time that I've been in office, we've gone from 95,000 farms in Missouri down to 87,000 farms. And so I am committed to trying to get new farmers in through tax programs, tax incentives. Ma'am, you can leave if you would like to disrupt. You're welcome to leave. So we are working to try to keep the family farms alive in America. I'm rereading your question here. Am I supportive of the corporate rule of our country? I am not in support of conglomeration of these farms to where we are boiling them down into these massive farms, and the family farm is gone.
Doing away with USAID is destroying families.
So
wait a minute, just one example. But so many of the answers you've given, Priest does not address at all the fact that we don't tax the wealthy or the corporate rule, and you keep voting to support all the things that reinforce it, or you stop supporting it and start, you know, caring about the common folk.
Look, I believe corporations have a place in our society, and I believe that individuals have a place in our society. And I am for the best tax policy that's going to build the biggest wealth for America and make everyone successful. And I believe that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and the qualified business deduction is a big part of that. Now, you may disagree, and that's okay.
Facts disagree.
Well, that's fine. You can present different. Anyway, we are going to move on to our next question.
Thank you.
All right. Next question from a constituent. Violet. Violet from Belton. Where are you, Violet? You want to pass?
Okay.
Maybe next time we can have a one-on-one with you if you want to talk. That's fine.
We can go to the school.
Yeah.
This is a group of students from Belton.
Oh, welcome. How many of you from Belton? Is that high school?
Yes, sir. Awesome.
Yeah, let's welcome our high school students. This is a good lesson in civics. When I started running for this office, many of the places I would go to were Republican places where everyone was friendly. And I don't mind being challenged. I don't mind having a civil discussion and trying to answer questions. But that's part of how our democracy works. The elected officials ask questions, sometimes get yelled at. It's okay. I'm a big boy and I can take it. All right. Damien June. Hey, Damien, how are you? You said something, Social Security. We're not going to do verbal questions, okay?
Ask his question.
He got a question on Social Security, Medicare, U.S. ground war influence.
Ask your question.
Social Security makes up about, as I said, Social Security and Medicaid makes up about 75% of our... You can take it back and we can write a question. Just write a question down there. We're going to do this the way that we had intended for our program. Barb from Cass County. She's going to ask her question in person. We'll do that later.
Perfect.
Steve Prime from Warsaw, Benton County. Who came from Warsaw?
Over here.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Shipping costs from China. Is China a favorite nation status shipping costs to Canada? Here's what China is doing right now. China is dumping its steel on the market. They are going through Canada and Mexico to get their products here and trying to hide that so they don't have to pay the tariff. And that is one reason that President Trump is going in and imposing these greater tariffs on China. And while we're talking about China, I know some of you don't like hearing this, but China is not our friend necessarily. I know that we buy a lot of products from them, but they are spying on us through and trying to gain information. I've been in these intelligence briefings. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry, but you don't believe it. So we have got to make sure that we have the protections from China. And that's going to include fair trade, and that's what I think President Trump is going to try to do with these tariffs. Part of the tariffs is that he's using, I think, as a negotiating tool for Mexico, and we've seen it work already. Mexico has done a better job at keeping people from coming over illegally into our great country because of the threat of tariff. I think one of the things you're going to see, though, is... Yes, you had a follow-up?
As far as the shipping costs?
Yes.
I sell my product for $8.
Yeah.
And it costs me $1 each to ship it 200 miles.
Yeah.
All right. China can ship halfway around the world and make their product and sell it here $2.
Yes.
Now, the post office, we're supplementing the post office. How come they're not cashing in?
Well, the post office is a whole other issue that we could be here all day talking about. You know, DeJoy, the Postmaster General, just quit.
Give you another example of Canada.
Yeah.
I can ship a box of my product anywhere in the United States for $20. I ship the same box to Canada, it's going to cost me $50. Now, is that tariff going to cover the...
Yeah, I don't know how the tariff will work on shipping. I do know this, is that there's something called the de minimis statute for China. They can ship in. Have you ever ordered anything on Temu or Shine? Young people, maybe in particular off your phone, cheap clothing coming from China, they can ship in without a tariff if it's under, a $600 value. And so one of the things that they're looking at is getting away with that because it's hurting American businesses. One thing's very clear. We have got to bring manufacturing back to America to make our country strong again. Small communities like this are vital with small businesses and manufacturing. And so the tax policies that we're going to develop, the savings we're going to find, and the Small Business Administration, Kelly Loeffler is going to be great at that, and we are going to make sure that manufacturing returns to America. Okay. As said in the December 9th interview, you state the Ukraine conflict ground force will not be needed. You follow that by saying in reference to Ukraine that it will likely be finished before Trump takes office. Yeah, as conflict continues to current day, do you still hold the same belief? I was wrong. I thought that the conflict with Ukraine would be over before Trump took the oath of office on January 20th. I was wrong about that. I think he's making significant progress now. Michael Waltz, who I used to be on the Armed Services Committee with, is now the National Security Advisor. He's involved in the negotiations right now. The progress that they're making right now is having individual discussions with the parties involved. And then they will bring them together to work out a deal.
Anyone
can
surrender.
Right. Thank you. All right. Where's Mike Champ from Cass County?
Right here.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Good to see you. You have a cup of coffee from here? Oh, good, good, good. All right. When will Congressman Alford stand up to Elon Musk? Who is... who is unelected, un-American, and doing undesired things that no one voted for? Okay. Let me go over, and this comes out of the Constitution, I'm sure. So Article 1, authority is vested in Congress, and we have power over the, I'm on the Appropriations Committee. Article 2 covers the executive branch, and the executive branch is run by Donald J. Trump. 77 million Americans elected him to be the chief executive officer. And so he is over the Treasury. He's over the Small Business Administration. He's over every federal agency in America. And so he can hire whom he wants. The Senate confirms the people who are over the agencies, and you have seen that with our majority now in the Senate, that these confirmations have happened, and the agencies, pretty much all, I think there's a few still that don't have heads, but they're coming soon. At the same time, under a program that actually President Obama started when he was in office, that has been renamed under President Trump for the Department of Government Efficiency. And Elon Musk is hired by the executive branch to be a overseer of this program. Now, he's not actually out firing people. He's not actually out... He's not giving people their pink slip. These are other people in the DOGE organization who are doing this. And so, Elon Musk has a place, and he is weeding out the waste, abuse, and fraud in the system. All right, what's our next question? Samuel from Belton. Where's Samuel? How you doing, Samuel? What do you think of this? It's pretty crazy, isn't it? But that's America. I love it. All right, Samuel. International Criminal Court, Gulf of America, Department of Education. All right, I think I kind of know what you're asking about this. I don't think we're beholden to the International Criminal Court. The Gulf of America, I think that's kind of a thing that... You know, Trump kind of likes to, look, he wants to make America great again. And a vast portion of what used to be the Gulf of Mexico borders America. And so I don't really have a feeling about that one way or another, Gulf of America. The Department of Education, can we get that door shut, please? Thank you. Thank you. The Department of Education, is your question about what is the future Department of Education?
My idea was unless they're on the
I cannot hear this young man's question because you are back there being disruptive. And I'm sorry you want to act like this, but I would like to have a discussion. Right. Number one, the federal government should never have been in the student loan process. That's only in the last 20 years that they've gotten involved with that. And I think you've seen some problems because of that, all right? The second thing is, the Department of Education was created in the 70s. We didn't all have that. The way this country was set up is that the states would be over education. And so I think long term, I think what you're going to see happen is a push to move education, the money, back to the states so that the states can do a better job in the school districts. Now, there are going to be some people who disagree with that, and that's fine. If you want to disagree with that, then you can vote in the next president who might change it back. But this is the direction I think President Trump is headed. But thank you, Samuel. Appreciate your question. All right. Braden. Where's Braden? How you doing, Braden? You got another question? All right. Thank you. Elon Musk is generally seen as an influence in the federal government. Evidence shows he has pocketed money into his own corporations while cutting federal jobs. Do you believe he is a fit leader to run an entire department? Elon Musk has contracts with the federal government. But he is also, I think, doing an effective job in weeding out the waste, abuse, and fraud in the government. I know there are a lot of people who don't want to see waste, abuse, and fraud weeded out. Some of them here today have said that. But he is appointed by the president, who's a chief executive, who can appoint whoever he can appoint you to weed out the waste, abuse, and fraud. Elon Musk and the president have agreed that if there is any potential conflict of interest, that he would recuse himself. And it's clear here today that some people don't believe that would happen. And that's okay. You are free in the next election to elect someone that you believe could do a better job. All right, Oren Sisson. Hi, Oren, how are you? All right, good job. I like that shirt, by the way. Does anybody need a refill of coffee? Anybody?
Espresso.
No espresso for this crowd. All right, what's being done about affordable housing? Because as a son to a single mother, it is hard to find housing around Belton. There are a lot of places being built but cannot necessarily afford. Even in the schools, there are less and less kids each year, and I feel that has to change. I am so glad that you asked this question, because before I got into Congress, I was on television. I was also a realtor, and I sold a lot of houses. But we have seen the housing market change drastically. We were just talking about this last night with our small group. When I grew up, the average cost of a house was $8,000 when I grew up. And now the average price for a home in Missouri is $425,000. That's a starter home. And so how do we make sure that we have enough housing stock, housing supply? We were supposed to have a housing summit last Wednesday at Raymore City Hall, but because of the weather, it got canceled. We had people coming in from HUD, Housing Urban Development, home builders, mortgage people. We had a panelist of about six, and we were going to have a large crowd there, and I'm sorry that got canceled. But this is a bipartisan commission that I am on, that I started the Real Estate Caucus, and it's bipartisan, Democrat and Republican. We have 62 members now, and we're trying to find solutions to save the American dream. I firmly believe that home ownership, building equity in that home, when you get to be my age, you're counting on that money being there in your home equity. So it's very important that we get people into homes. You've got to have the supply to do that. And you've got to have the inflation rate down. So one of the things that's causing a disruption, especially in Kansas City proper. Anybody here from Kansas City proper?
Yes.
You're from Kansas City? Welcome to the 4th Congressional District from Emanuel Cleveland. By the way, is Emanuel having a breakfast?
Yeah, they're out here. They're in Kansas City proper area.
No, no, Kansas City limits. Anybody from here?
Me.
You are. Is Mayor, is Congressman Cleaver having a coffee? Because he and I are going to be on the same flight, I think, at 12:35. Anyway, one of the things that's happened in Kansas City is that the regulations, have you heard of the Inflation Reduction Act that passed? Well, in that Inflation Reduction Act were a lot of these climate change initiatives that Kansas City has adopted that has driven up the price of a home by 25%. It has, from September of 23 to January of 24, about almost a 6 month period, there was only one building permit pulled to start a house. And so, combined with the property taxes, which are also an issue that you can talk to Frank White about, the supply is down because builders are not building as many homes. The other issue is the inflation rate. Now, let me tell you why the inflation rate is so high. The inflation rate is so high is because Joe Biden pumped over $2 trillion under the Green New Scam into the economy, and that flooded spending in America, and that drove up costs and drove up inflation rate. So what we're trying to do, and this administration is trying to do, is bring down those costs. All right? It's going to take a while. We've got to become energy dominant again. We've got to open the drilling, open the fracking, open the oil leases, which the Energy Secretary, Lev Burgum, is doing. But they're making headway. It's going to take a little bit of time. But I'm predicting, look, I think you're living in the greatest time in American history. I think you are going to see, let's meet back here 6 months from now, and I think you will see a dramatic turnaround. There's a lot of resistance right now because people are scared and people are fearful and people don't like change and they don't like to cut back. I mean, I don't like to cut back. But these are the cuts that we are necessary to make to right-size our government, to get our deficit under control so that we can be strong again. And when we're strong, we can help other nations be strong. That's a very good question. All right, Autumn from Belton. Where's Autumn? Autumn, how are you doing? Good. Gun regulation, school safety, preventions, we are taking to keep students safe on campus moving forward. I just visited a business in, was it Peculiar? A couple of months ago. They build these safe rooms that can be installed in classrooms and buildings. I think that's one of the keys, providing safe rooms. A lot of times right now FEMA provides money. If you want to build a huge structure in the interior of the school or maybe out in a courtyard or something like that, they will provide that money. But their answer was during a school shooting, you need to kind of shelter in place, and these safe rooms that can be built actually into a wall could be a solution to that. I can't hear her follow-up, ma'am. That's insane. They're doing that. I think it's a very viable business. Yeah. I can't, ma'am. This is, you guys, I appreciate your passion and enthusiasm and love for America, but I would like to hear her follow-up question, okay? What's your follow-up? Well, I think we need to provide more mental health. What are we doing? I am willing to invest more money in mental health care. We have got, and everywhere I go, I've been to several hospitals on this in-district work period. We have got to invest more money in health care. It's on my website. I've said it on the campaign trail. I don't think we need more gun control in America. We need more self-control. And so if we can help people with mental health, that is going to go a long way in this. All right. Next up, Diane from Belton. Where's Diane? Diane Belton. Is that you? All right, you better be on your best behavior now. What do you... I printed out just three stories about true Medicare and Medicaid fraud totaling $2.38 billion in just 3 years. How will we keep up these investigations with cuts to something in the FBI? I think the money is going to be provided to do these investigations. That will come through the appropriations process. I'm a new member of the appropriations committee, and I'm on a subcommittee that oversees some of these, and so we'll be looking at the funding needed to try to recoup this money from fraud in Medicare and Medicaid. Now, look, if people are, this is the way I feel, the same about food stamps, the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. I was on the ad committee last year, and we dealt with this in the farm bill. There's $34 million a day in waste, abuse, and fraud in that program. $13.6 billion. Now, you may not want to believe that, but that is the truth. And so if we can recapture that money, we can give it to people who truly need it. So that's how we're going to be working to try to, we want to make sure that America is healthy, that they are eating the proper foods. This is a nutrition program, and junk food should not be allowed to be bought with food stamps. And if you disagree with that, then that's fine. All right. Jim, you're up next. How are you? When is he going to start upholding his oath of office? Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. I believe that every day, did I walk, every day that I walk up those Capitol steps, I think about this district and I think about my oath of office. And when I get on that House floor and I cast a vote for our district, I think about that oath of office. And so I do believe I'm living up to the oath of office. If you believe that I'm not, then that's up to you. And, I appreciate your opinion. All right. Abby from Belton. Abby.
Can I stay later and talk to the with you?
Sir, I've got a plane to catch and I'm leaving at 10 o'clock, so 45 minutes. So, Abby. Hi, Abby, how are you?
Please
I'm doing
down.
Fantastic. Jim, could you please find a seat?
Please sit down.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Go ahead, Abby.
That's a non-answer, folks. Yep.
That's right.
I do want you to know that Jim is a great guy. I had a 20-minute conversation with him this summer out in the parking lot outside our office. And I'm sorry, November. Okay. Time flies, doesn't it? And we had a great conversation. I don't mind talking to Jim or anyone for that matter, but I'm not going to be yelled at. And we're going to have a discussion. I love you too, brother. All right, you're a great American. All right, Abby Belton, how do you feel about mass deportation and immigration camps? Very good question. So let me give you a little background on this. I was at the border last year. I've been to the border several times. It was much worse than you could ever imagine or see on TV. The previous administration, the Biden administration, let more than 12 million illegal aliens into our great nation during that time. It put a strain on financial resources for you, our citizens. They put some of these illegal aliens up at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City. I saw them. I used to stay at the Roosevelt Hotel when I visited my daughter up in New York City. And so our country has been strained for our support for illegal aliens. And yes, I do say illegal aliens because as the proper government terms, there's illegal alien, criminal alien, and resident alien. And what this president pledged to do in his campaign and was elected by 77 million Americans to do so is to have a mass deportation program where starting with criminal aliens, people who have been incarcerated, people who have committed crimes, are rounded up and they are repatriated back to their home countries. We have seen that with Venezuela. We have seen that with Guatemala. And we have seen that with Mexico and other countries. We do not have the financial resources, being $36.5 trillion in debt, to support 12 million illegal aliens in our great nation. If you want to come here the right way and stand in line, we welcome you to do that. We welcome you to become a part of the fabric of America. But to come and to disrupt our nation and to put a further strain on our resources when we are going broke, it just doesn't cut it. And when you come into our country and you rape and murder our young women, like Lakin Riley was murdered, that's why we passed the Lakin Riley Act, to make sure that illegal aliens who commit crimes are detained by ICE and sent back before they can rape and murder our fellow citizens. So thank you very much for that question. All right, let's go to Joe Jackson. Where's Joe Jackson? Are you Joe? Hi, Joe. How are you? You don't have to stand up. Former federal special agent. What did you do? She investigated fraud, abuse, and waste. Good.
You mentioned that we need to take care of
the
properties
that went. Far
blades
into
your chest. Yes. And one of the first things
that Trump did
was
to fire
all the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Good question. Hold on. I gotta make a note before I forget it. Cause this is one of the programs I want to talk about. Joe Jackson, yeah, sure.
There are, most of the fraud and abuse and the drain on the federal dollars come from abuse of the voters.
Right.
So the first senator, the United States senator, in the United States Senate.
Who's that?
Rick Scott was he wasn't convicted, but his company was convicted of almost $1 billion in fraud.
But he wasn't convicted.
Yeah.
Was his company held accountable? The officers?
He was held accountable and his company fired him. He was the CEO
of Yeah. Well, you can't be a CEO of a company once you're in Congress. Yeah. You have to give up all your, you cannot have a business relationship when you're in Congress. I can't hear Joe, guys. I grew up in a large family traveling across the country in a station wagon.
As did I.
But it wasn't quite this loud.
So.
Yes. Right. All right. So Joe Jackson has a very legitimate question, and I appreciate that. Thank you for your service, by the way. About the inspectors general that President Trump fired. All right.
Illegally.
So the inspectors general are part of the executive branch, and he has every right to hire the inspectors general whom he wants to be in his office. The attorney general. So, many of these will go into the courts. This will be adjudicated by the courts, and we'll see what happens. But again, I do appreciate your question, Joe. All right, Kira. Thank you. Kira from Belton on Ukraine on preventing escalation while supporting allies. How do we prevent escalation?
That was already asked.
Where's Kira?
Kira,
thank you so much. How do we prevent escalation? Well, I think we've got to show peace through strength, just like Ronald Reagan said. I think we missed the boat in a lot of areas because Joe Biden did not send the weaponry needed for Zelensky to effectively push back against Putin. I think that was a big mistake. And so now it's involved in a stalemate, which Putin feels emboldened. And I think what's going to end up happening in this negotiation is that He will keep Crimea as he did after O'Biden let him do that. And he will end up with the Donbass region, which is largely Russian-speaking. I don't think that that is, that's not the ideal situation, but I don't think we have the temerity as a nation, and the taxpayers do not have the patience or want to put any more money into this effort to try to push Putin back. Europe must do their part and pay their fair share to be a proper deterrent inside of NATO.
They don't have the same GDP that the
All right. Let me explain how NATO works. NATO, you pay a percentage of your gross domestic product, and so, right, but I heard a lady back there saying something about GDP, so it's based on your GDP, it's not a total dollar amount, and so when Germany and France doesn't see fit to fund NATO, as lined out in our treaty, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, they need to step up their game.
And
did you have a follow-up?
Really? Yeah, I did have a follow-up.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I think it was already... Oh, there's a longer
one. Is that
one
it?
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
I would like for her to be able to speak her question. She might think student issues from you Ukraine,
right.
But she can't speak her question.
Right.
My
family and I woke up to the sounds of explosions and Russian military aircraft. 2 days later, Russian troops were approaching my hometown and occupying my region. We knew that if Russian occupation of my hometown was successful, we would not be coming back. Not only because of all the horrific things that our enemy did, but also because of our values of family, freedom, and Christian values. Many towns in the eastern Ukraine are occupied, and our fathers, sons, brothers are fighting for their values. Coming to the USA for an exchange year, I saw the American and Ukrainian people are sharing Christian, family, and freedom values. I'm emphasizing that because she has it capitalized. What do you think about the President Trump making deals with Russia, whose values contradict with the values of the American people? Very good question. Look, I appreciate you being here. I hope you've had your... When do you go back? What?
In June.
Hopefully things will be settled by then. Is your hometown in the Donbass region? Kiev region, and I know they've been hit pretty hard there as well. Look, Trump is going to get a deal negotiated where this war can end once and for all. If there are some Americans who want to be involved in an endless war like we had when I was growing up in the Vietnam War, Americans, we don't have the stomach for that, and we don't. You know, Joe Biden said for as long as it takes, for as much as it takes. And the taxpayers, the majority in the 4th Congressional District say no. No, we have invested $300 billion. There's $100 billion unaccounted for. And there has to be an end to this war. And so President Trump is going to work with the parties involved to get the best deal possible. And Europe must pay its fair share.
All
right. Okay, next question. This one doesn't have a name or anything. Are we still in the 4th Congressional District question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Teresa Ryan. Where's Teresa? Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm from Clinton, Missouri.
Oh, you're from Clinton. Welcome. I was just over there. Yeah. Were you at the Henry County meeting we were at on the fly ash issue from Everett?
No, but I did watch it online.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
So they're doing some more testing. I know we're not meeting about that, but we'll be updating that as time goes on. They've got an interesting issue out there. Teresa says, are you...
My pen went wrong.
Are you with something chaos being created by... Are you okay with the chaos being created by the Department of Government efficiency? Anytime that you have cuts, anytime that you're looking for savings in something, anytime that you're cutting back, there's going to be chaos involved.
Why not go through the
President Trump, when he was elected the first time, I don't think he really even thought he was going to be elected. I think everyone pretty much thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win that. He ended up winning. He did not have the people nor the plan in place to effectively govern the nation from day one. And so now, he has had 4 years to formulate this plan, and he is carrying out this precise plan. And it is swift, and there are going to be cuts. And those cuts and the swiftness combined are going to create some chaos. But not all chaos is bad. And so, yes, I am okay with chaos or whatever you call it, that we right-size our government. Imagine, if you will, that we're on a ship and we are headed towards a reef. Trying to steer clear of that reef, there might be some chaos trying to steer the direction of the ship or row a different direction. Our nation is headed towards a reef. And if we don't do something now to avoid that reef, we are going to sink this ship. And I'm so glad that we have Donald J. Trump back behind that resolute desk, who can finally be a resolute leader that we need to be an effective leader, not just for our nation, but to restore our prestige and our reputation on the world stage. Let's go to our next question. Karen, I've got 30 minutes. Karen, where's she from? Okay. I don't know. If... Thank you very much. All right. Angie I. Where's Angie I? Angie, where are you from? So you're in the 5th Congressional District. But you're in Jackson County, right? So Emmanuel Cleaver is your representative. Okay. Angie says, are you going to do everything you can to make sure people who took deferred resignations are paid? I can hear you. The whole world can hear you, Angie. I can hear you even without a microphone. She says, are you going to do everything you can to make sure people who took deferred resignations are paid? I think you're talking about the program that President Trump initiated, to where you can work, you can pretty much quit your job, and you get paid up until what, September? So I'm fully in favor of living up to that commitment. I think some 40 or 50,000 people have taken that deal so far. I think there's some people who regretted they didn't take that deal. But I think in the long term, we are going to be able to provide the jobs necessary. I was just out in Columbia. This past week. And you know, have you been to Columbia lately? It's a beautiful town. MU's there. They are looking for 3,000 people right now to fill jobs out there. Good paying jobs. We're increasing our infrastructure. That's one of the things I'm going to be doing on the Appropriations Committee, trying to build the infrastructure in Missouri. And I told Mike Kehoe, our great governor, I want to help you turn the show me state into the grow me state. And so there are jobs available. There are 150,000 to 175,000 jobs in Missouri. And so people to take these deferred retirements who are leaving, who are getting paid for 8 months, there are jobs out there that you can, look, it's hit my family. As I told you, layoffs have hit a lot of families. And it happens in business. Did you know that when I worked at Fox 4 for 23 and a half years, we went through 4 different owners. And every time we got a new ownership group, there were layoffs. There are layoffs because of the duplication of work, automation, advances. So it happens in businesses when new management takes over. And government is not immune. Government is not immune to layoffs. And just because you have a government job doesn't mean it's a lifetime appointment like the Supreme Court. So I would encourage anyone who finds themselves in this situation to realize that we are going to get this economy turning again. There are jobs available. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And you are not a victim, you are a victor. And you will be able to get another job and provide for yourself and your family. I'm confident of that. Thank you very much. All right. Hold on. Let's have 30 seconds of yelling while I drink a cup of coffee.
Five USC 63-29 states no employee can be on administrative leave longer than 10 calendar days in a year. PRP is illegal, and you are hurting our veterans.
All right, here we go. Eric from Chillicothe, how are you? Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I couldn't think of a better way to spend the money.
I love you.
CBS is a joke.
What is your position in RTW that people of Missouri rejected? What's RTW?
Right to Work.
Oh, Right to Work. Okay. I know what Right to Work is. We use so many abbreviations up in D.C. Like, I didn't even know what the Indo-PACOM was when I first got up there, and I know now. So anyway, Right to Work. Look, I believe in a Right to Work state. I think some unions still have a very good presence and good representation, and they do some good. But I also believe that you should have a right to work in the state. And so I believe in Right to Work. I believe in that at Fox 4. When I helped organize a decertification of our union there in 1999, I will tell you though that if you are a member of the union, I don't have any grudges for you. If you want to be a member of the union, then have at it. And if you want to pay into the dues, then have at it. But those dues should not go to promote political candidates or causes. And so, I think what you're seeing, and what I'm proud of in America, I think what you're seeing is a lot of union people are coming over to the conservative Republican side. There are a lot of union members. They believe in family. They believe in God. They believe in the Second Amendment. And so I think what you're seeing is a great shift. You've seen it with union presidents who were actually at the Milwaukee Convention giving speeches for President Trump. And so I think what you're seeing is a shift. People know that the Republican Party has the vote of many union people and common sense values. So thank you. All right, we got about 25 minutes. Stephanie Davidson from Raymore. Stephanie, where's Stephanie? Hi. My products made by American workers now have a 35-1 tariff. 35%, I'm sorry, 35% tariff. This is not sustainable. Can you commit to reviewing these? I'm available to assist. Yes, would you come by our office and we can talk more in person? I would love to get with you on this. I am going to be meeting with the president later this week, and I'd love to have your story to tell him. So, and I will also pass along a love from this group to President Trump when I meet with him later this week. But Stephanie, seriously, I do want to get these facts down so that I can talk to the president about this, and so that you are represented. All right, thank you. I love that very serious question. All right, Liz Marie Candelon, how you doing? Are you the student sponsor of this group? I mean, the teacher sponsor? No. Okay. All right. Oh, a parent. Okay. On ICE security. As an American citizen, I should have the right to move freely in our nation without being asked about my immigration status just because I'm Hispanic. What is your stand on how ICE has been deployed into local businesses or houses? I agree with you on this. Do you know who Stephen Miller is? He is the assistant. Okay. So Stephen Miller has been very outspoken about this, and he and Tom Holman have been working together to try to right this ship of immigration, illegal immigration. And one of the questions I had for him, because they had put out like a 1-800 number or something to like to turn people in. And I said, look, I don't know if that's a good idea because you're going to have people trying to rat out their neighbor who's a U.S. citizen. And so I think we have to have a more thoughtful response to that. And we want to make sure that everyone's constitutional rights are protected. And that's just my sense on that. So I agree with you on that. And I thank you for that. I hope we can all agree on that. All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca Reinholdt. Hold on, wait. Are we done?
Yes, sir.
All right, we are now done with the 4th Congressional District questions. We have 22 minutes left, and we have Rebecca Reinholdt from Leavenworth, Kansas. Where's your, is that you? Okay. She says, veterans are hurting. Why aren't you helping? Okay.
So,
I am on the Appropriations Subcommittee, which oversees the Veterans Affairs, and we're going to be making sure that we have the appropriate funds for veterans right now.
For their jobs the next day.
Yes.
We make sure that our veterans are cared for.
Yeah.
From the moment they become a veteran to when they're laid in the ground.
Well, I care very much for veterans, and the recent cuts that were made, I think, to the veterans commissions, the new administrator,
not the hardworking federal,
the new administration official that just took over, Doug Collins, made sure that America knew that the cuts that were made to the VA were not in a position that would affect services. So I too believe in veterans and helping veterans. I'm on the VA Military Construction Subcommittee for the appropriations. We're going to make sure that our veterans are supported. We were just at the Missouri Veterans Home, nursing home for veterans, and we were there on Valentine's Day. We sat down and talked to 100 of them, spent an hour there. So I have the greatest respect for veterans and supplying the needs. If you'd like to write that down on a card like everyone else, you're welcome to. Caitlin A., where is Caitlin? Caitlin. Caitlin says, the total savings, I don't see this in the form of the question. She works for Social Security. Administration is a 50-year staffing IOU.
We are at a 50-year staffing low.
Low, okay. The total savings
is low. There is one of me for every 1,600 of you. I'm going to get to 45 of you in one day.
And people, why are you allowing someone with no security clearance? I didn't see. Are you talking about Elon Musk? Elon Musk does have a security clearance. Yes, he does. There are different levels of security clearances, and Elon Musk does have, whether you like it or not, Elon Musk does have a security clearance. And so, that is that. I appreciate your work at the IRS. This is kind of a repeat question. Karen says, why is an unelected person allowed to hire, fire government employees? I'll take one of these. Where's Karen that asked this question? Karen? Thank you, Karen. Karen says, why is an unelected person allowed to hire, fire government employees? I'm going to take these one at a time. The reason is that he was hired. Let me go to have eye-to-eye contact with you. Elon Musk was hired by the executive, Donald Trump, and he has given him that authority. Just as in past administrations, presidents have given authority to other people to hire and fire. And so that's good. How do you guarantee the Congress budget includes enough money for Medicare? That's a very good question. Medicare, as I said before, Medicare and Social Security takes up about 75% of our budget. And we are going to have to take a look at the waste, abuse, and fraud in there. Medicare Advantage, how many of you are on Medicare Advantage right now? Anybody? Okay. Medicare Advantage has some issues with it. We've got to figure that out. That all goes through the Ways and Means Committee. Jason Smith, who is the chairman of Ways and Means, he is working on this to make sure that we have the money necessary in the Medicare program. I think Medicaid right now is the issue, is that we have to find the savings through the waste, abuse, and fraud, and then make sure that if you're an able-bodied adult and you're not, you don't have any dependents, that you're not on that system. And how will you protect the IRS farmers' jobs? Oh, those are two different, the IRS and the farmers. I don't know if every job is going to be protected. I think you're seeing layoffs, and I saw some reports there was 1,000 IRS. I've seen others, it's 100. We have a few statistics for you right here. There are 3 million federal workers in America. And of the workers that Biden hired over the last 4 years, 85% of them have been government workers. $271 billion is the federal payroll right now. The average salary for a federal worker is $106,000. So any time that you have a new business or new owners come in, or in this case a new president, they have every right to make the cuts necessary, especially at a time when our country is really going over the deep end. We have $36.5 trillion worth of debt, and we're gaining $1.5 trillion worth of debt every year. That is unsustainable as a nation. Okay. Oh, here's a good one from Sue.
I talked to some good people.
Sue Trebue? Trebue?
Both sides.
Trebue. Is that you? All right. Have we talked before? Have you been in here?
No.
Just a second. I got to take another sip of coffee.
You would be firing in order to save $80 million.
All right. Here we go. Sue Trebue has some general things about Medicaid and Cash Patel. So Medicaid, we've gone over the Medicaid. Well, you're supposed to write your question down. Did you not tell them?
But you didn't answer okay. The question I wrote
what's
down.
Your...
My question is, will you be in support of not cutting Medicaid?
Thank you.
And my second...
But I also know, like in business, as I explained before, and it's happened at Fox 4, when you have a change of government in this case, but a change of ownership, and you're looking for waste, abuse, and fraud, and you're looking to cut, to trim down the size of government, government employees are going to be let go. But that's just the reality of it. And I feel bad that people have been laid off. I truly do. I understand that. Some of my good friends at Fox 4 were laid off during some of these. My wife was laid off in the Federal Reserve. I get it. I understand it. But I do know that we've got to downsize our government, make it more efficient, and more accountable. And I think that's what they're going to do. You have a big follow-up. But I can't hear you, Daniel. If you can convince all your friends, certainly. Okay, so I can hear his question. Thank you.
Hey, so I want to let you know.
You got to yell.
Okay. I want to let you know there's a legal and proper way to downsize government.
Guys.
I'm on your side.
We're not. This isn't a junior high cafeteria.
So one, it's a legal and proper way to downsize federal employees, and that's not being installed. But number two, I know you know this already, but I'm going to tell you. Investments in the IRS lead to more revenue. Directly or every time, completely. Cutting 1% of my workforce and having me hold them while they cry does not make sense fiscally.
Again, Daniel, I appreciate your leadership there, and you're able to counsel and comfort some of these people who've been let go.
It's
a hardship for families. I get that. The Biden administration, under the Inflation Reduction Act, hired 87,000 new IRS workers. And so I think the feeling is, I think if you feel like you need more, then the next go-around for president, you can elect a president who will get you more IRS workers. But until then, President Trump is a chief executive. And Billy Long, I don't know if you heard of this, Billy, you know Billy Long? He is the former congressman from Springfield. And he is going to be the administrator, or he's been nominated to be the administrator of the IRS. And possibly the ERS, the External Revenue Service that Trump is going to set up to bring in the tariff money. we would never gain a lot of things.
Do you care if your country's higher because lower revenue? Like, do you care?
I'm not sure if I agree with you on that. You know, I've heard both sides of it. So, do you have any other questions? Becky, are there other questions? Oh, well, let me have those and I'll handle them. But Daniel, thank you. I appreciate you being civil and respectful. Thank you so much.
The Central Plains Tea Pack.
All right. Here's some of no names, but I got 10 minutes. So here we go. If you support no cuts to Medicaid, why did you vote for the 880D cut in the Representative's House proposed budget? Look, there are some things in Medicaid. How you doing? Good to see you. There are some things in Medicaid that need to be reformed. I think prescription drug program. You what?
Do it through Congress, not even.
Hey, guys.
Your job, Mark.
It's your job.
It is your job.
It's my job to listen to her, and I can't hear if you're yelling in the back.
We're not
going to do it. I can't actually hear you saying. So if you'll be quiet, maybe I can hear her. Thank you. Yes.
However, the proposed budget from the House of Representatives cuts $808 million off Medicaid.
Have you seen?
I have looked at
it. Okay, so we'll be voting on that tomorrow.
What's your vote? Why 100% of the House of Representatives vote in lockstep for those kinds of things. That's very different.
Because we're trying to save our nation. They are savings.
No.
We're talking about work requirements. We're talking about stripping the waste, abuse, and fraud out of the system. And this is it. Keep in mind, when you hear a big number like that from... When you hear a big number like that, that's over a 10-year period. That's how the OMB scores it. And so it's $880 million a year.
All right.
See, we got 6 minutes. What are U.S. benefits to finance Mars landing mission? Whose question is that?
How's your ball game, Mark?
What's your name?
I'm Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. That's a very good question. Maybe some people want to get off this planet. Yeah, I don't know. Versus funding for health care for U.S. citizens.
Look at your constituents, Mark.
Versus funding for health care for U.S. citizens.
Why send people to Mars and
care for
what you
think,
Mark?
You know... Again, I'm going to be on the subcommittee I am for that oversees NASA. And so I'm going to be taking a closer look at these programs. I was out at NASA in October and saw the Artemis rocket. And eventually these programs are going to be going to Mars. I don't really understand that issue well enough. It's something I need to bone up on why we feel like we need to go to Mars. But it's something that that some people think we need to do. So we will, maybe I'll ask Elon. I think I may see him tomorrow at the White House. So I'll ask him. Very good handwriting here, by the way. What have you done to demonstrate that the legislative branch is equal part of the government?
Yeah.
He wrote that. Thank you. Very good handwriting. We need to return cursive to American schools. You know, I grew up watching Schoolhouse Rock, and I thought it was very simple. You know, you pass a bill in the House, you pass one in the Senate, you come to conference committee, you decide what the bill should be, then it goes to the president for his or her signature. Notice I said her. It's not that simple anymore, and it has gotten to be a problem. Washington is dysfunctional to some degree, and I see it every day. Part of the problem is that the Republicans, we don't have a big enough majority to get things done. And so we're going to be working with the Republicans to make sure that we not only keep our majority, but we grow our majority so that we can get things done for the American people. And I know you guys are going to be supportive of that. Okay. Explain H.R. 2.
Yes, please do.
H.R. 2, the Secure Border Act. That, so, Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. Look, here's the deal.
You're not very in the know for people.
We have got to make sure, we've got to make sure that only American citizens vote in our elections. There are some people who are not U.S. citizens who vote in some way. We've seen in the past elections for non-citizens, some are municipal, some are state, but I don't see anything wrong in making sure that you have to show voter ID as we do in Missouri, but you need to be a U.S. citizen to vote. And if you are a U.S. citizen to vote, there should be no reason not to be able to show that. District 4 has approximately 13.5 Medicaid recipients. Whose question is this, Senator Graham? Very detailed. Oh, thank you. Back to you. Very good. 14 Medicare recipients and 10% SNAP recipients. How do you justify $4 trillion debt ceiling while reducing benefits? Okay. So if we do not raise the debt ceiling, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not all in favor of raising the debt ceiling. I think we keep spending too much money. And I don't agree with Trump on everything, and this is one of them I don't necessarily agree with. But the plan is, if we don't raise, we should have done this before we came home for Christmas. We should have raised the debt ceiling. We should have gotten out of the continuing resolution and passed the budget. But we did not do that. And I was not in leadership. I'm not in a position to make that happen. I was just a lowly, at that time, a lowly president.
That's no excuse.
So we've got to make sure that we get out of our debt. And part of that $4 trillion debt ceiling, by raising that, it's going to allow the president to operate, for Congress to operate, because if we don't raise it, the Democrats are going to try to stymie us and stop us at everything. And with a 1-2 seat majority, we have got to be vilified in our place. And so by raising the debt ceiling, that's going to be able to give a breathing room to our government, to our president, and be able to do the things he needs to do to restore our economy, keep it energized, return a lot of the offshore jobs, make us energy dominant again, and again, renew the tax cuts and jobs.
Elon is an
Obama. Okay, we got 2 minutes.
Use Elon's money that he's supposedly trying to
get.
Back taxes. So Elon Musk
is not. I certainly. Look, guys, can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Class. Look, I certainly appreciate everyone being here today. I still believe this is what democracy is all about. Even if you don't agree with me and I don't agree with you, you are able to come out and talk to the person who represents you in Congress. It is an honor of a lifetime to be able to do that, and I do not take it lightly. Again, we represent 772,047 individuals. I'm a Republican, Democrat, independent, politically agnostic. Our office is open for you. And we have caseworkers who have helped return more than $3 million already to constituents. I like to think of you as clients. We try to get concierge service to our district. So if you have a problem, if you have a VA benefit issue, if you have disability issues, benefits, if you have social security benefits, we are here to help you. Our caseworkers are here. If you have a problem, and I do want to say, if there's someone here who came out today who does have more of a private issue they want to talk about, please sit around and talk to our staff. Typically I do sit down and maybe I'll have these face-to-face discussions. But I want to make sure that you know that we care about you and we're here to serve you. So God bless you. God bless you, Jerry. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you so much.